some beautiful flute playing. Good morning. Welcome to the Panic Podcast. The first full week of March is upon us. Can spring be far behind? The answer is no. It's going to be a beautiful spring day here in Wise County, Virginia. It's nice to have you along for the ride. Today we're in the Gospel of John, chapter 8. We're going to talk about Jesus as the light. What does that mean exactly when I say Jesus is the light? What do you think when I say that? That's what we're going to talk about on the Panic Podcast today. Hope you all had a good weekend. Hope your church services were awesome yesterday. And hope you're looking forward to studying the Bible with me today. We'll get started in just a second. Stuff right there. My Jesus, I love thee. That's the jazz hymn collection from Simplicity. That's a great CD. I've had it forever. I don't know who they are, but they sure are good, aren't they? Well, welcome along. It's so nice to have you here. John chapter 8, verse 12 is where we're going to start today. As we talk about the promise of light, and what did Jesus mean when he talked about, I am the light of the world. John chapter 8, verse 12 is the verse. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Light. Light makes life. You cannot have life without some form of light. Light makes for beauty and warmth and comfort and joy. Life makes health. Light makes health possible. Without light, the world would be a mass of coldness and death. With what the sun does for the natural world, Jesus Christ does for the world of man in terms of his mind, his soul, and his spirit. In the context of John chapter 8, by the time we get to verse 12, the scene shifts to the treasury of the temple. And a multitude was still following Jesus at this point in his ministry. And he turns to them and makes one of the many grand statements as to his messiahship. He says, I am the light of the world. Now, naturally speaking, of course, the world in which we live is in the darkness of sin and ignorance and aimlessness and certainly hopelessness. The light of the world is Jesus. And apart from him, there's no deliverance from the utter blackness of sin. Apart from Jesus, there's no guidance along the way of life, no knowledge as to the real meaning and purpose of life and the issues of eternity. And here, Jesus makes a phenomenal promise. Anyone following him would not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. What does it mean to follow Jesus? We're going to talk about light in just a second, but I just it occurred to me that we talk about following Jesus all the time in the Christian world. It's one of those Christian phrases that we make. But what does it mean? What does it mean to follow Jesus? Well, I would say that to follow Jesus means simply to believe on him. Now, many people have the mistaken idea that they can live as Jesus lived without ever being born again. Did you know that? That there's a whole segment of the world that loves parts of the Bible. They especially love the Sermon on the Mount, the ethical teachings of Jesus. And they seek to emulate the life of Christ without ever actually committing their lives to them, to him. So they're living a biblical life. That is to say, they're following the biblical admonitions, the ethical and moral biblical admonitions, without ever committing to Christ. But to follow Jesus, it means more than just living like Jesus, although that's certainly part of it. To follow Jesus means to come to him in repentance. We got into that last night at our pop-up Bible study. We're going to be uploading those studies in the next couple of weeks. We'll probably have a special day, maybe a Tuesday or a Thursday, set aside for our studies on the Holy Spirit, four of them all together. But we kind of got sidetracked last night, and we talked about things that the church routinely does, things that are not biblical. And one of the things that the church does that absolutely drives me bananas is they talk about this sinner's prayer. You probably heard about it. And it's very common in Pentecostal-type churches where, you know, at a given point in the service, usually the end of the sermon, there's an invitation. And the pastor asks everybody to bow their heads and close their eyes, nobody looking around. If you don't know Jesus, it's the easiest thing in the world to do. All you have to do is just pray after me, repeat these words. And people will either, as I say, from their seats pray the sinner's prayer, or they come forward and pray the sinner's prayer, and wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, they're born again. And you see this all the time on social media, Facebook and places like that. These churches will, you know, Monday morning or Sunday afternoon put up a post saying, praise God, we had 45 conversions. 45 people came to Jesus at church this morning. And you know, when you drill down in their testimonies, it's 45 people said the sinner's prayer. Now, does that mean that 45 people are born again? I mean, do you pray to become born again? Now, I'll tell you what, I've been studying the Bible for all of my adult life, and I'm just this side of 60, and I cannot find anywhere in the Bible where I see the sinner's prayer. I cannot find anywhere in the Bible where it talks about saying a prayer to get saved. So do you just say a prayer to get saved? No, the answer is no. What do you do to get saved? How do you become born again? You have to repent. You have to repent of your sins. Now, of course, prayer is involved naturally. I'm being a little bit tongue-in-cheek here, but repentance is how you become born again. To follow Jesus means to come to him in repentance, to trust him as Lord and Savior, and then, of course, to commit your whole life to him. And that's what it means to become born again. It always drives me crazy when people talk about, you know, the sinner's prayer. My goodness. Those who do this, that is to say, repent, come to Jesus in repentance, dedicate their life to following him. Those who do this have guidance in life and clear and bright hope beyond the grave. That's the whole point of what Jesus meant when he says, I am the light of the world. So let's talk about this idea of light. Let's talk about the claim. I mean, it's a sublime claim. I am the light of the world. Later on in John chapter 12, verse 46, he says, I'm the light. I am the light in the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not live in the darkness. As the light of the world, I would say that Christ reveals the will of God and the fact that God is truly the God of love. You cannot know God apart from Jesus Christ. And he made this claim in the Gospels. If you know me, you know the Father. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you've ever wondered about what God thinks of this or that, all you have to do is read the Gospels and see what Jesus thought about the issue. To know Jesus is to know God. When you see Jesus as the loving teacher who called the children to himself and said, you know, don't stop these children from coming to me. And if anybody harms these children, you know, it's not going to be good for you. I'm going to tie a brick around your neck and throw you into the deepest part of the ocean. Now, that's God. That's the kind of Heavenly Father that we serve, someone with endless compassion for his children. The light of Jesus reveals the nature of God. The light of Jesus also reveals God's will. You cannot know the will of God without knowing Jesus. And it's the light that emanates from him that reveals the will of the Lord. And every one of you listening to this podcast ought to be very concerned about following God's will. Christ serves as a light by revealing and exhibiting the evil nature of sin. Apart from Jesus, apart from a relationship with him, sometimes it's hard to tell what is a sin and what isn't. Did you know that? And the light of Jesus reveals not only what a sin is, but his light reveals the awfulness of sin. Apart from Jesus, nobody can understand how awful sin is. What is sin? What does the light of Jesus reveal about sin? Well, sin is that which brings suffering and penalties into life. Makes you wonder, doesn't it? Makes you wonder why people continue to follow the ways of sinful living, even though it causes them hardship and suffering and pain. Like, why would you do something that you're going to regret later on? I mean, it's not logical, but then again, sin isn't logical, is it? Sin not only harms other people, or has the potential of harming other people, but sin harms the person committing the sin. You may think you're not hurting anybody, but of course you are. You're hurting God, first of all. Every sin you commit may or may not be against another person, but every sin you commit is against God. You are sinning against the Lord. Sin is also that which creates a bad conscience. Have you ever had a bad conscience? Yeah, I can see you nodding. We've all been there, haven't we? Especially when we're younger. When we're older, we learn how to ignore our consciences, much to our detriment. But when you're young, you get a bad conscience. And it's amazing how your mom and dad always knew when you were kids that you had done something wrong. You thought you covered it up. Nobody knew about it. But sitting around the table or watching TV later on that day, your dad just looks at you over the newspaper and says, "What's wrong with you? You're quiet. What did you do?" I mean, your conscience, I mean, screams out that you've done something wrong, even when you're trying not to admit it or ignore what you did. Sin is that which enslaves the will. Boy, that is the truth. It gets easier and easier and easier to sin the more often you do it, to yield to some sort of temptation. The first time it may be difficult. The first time that you yield to that temptation and you commit that awful act of sin, you think the world is going to end, and it doesn't. Nothing changes. God didn't strike you dead. Cops didn't show up. You know, you thought you got away with it. You swear you'll never do it again. Guess what? You do it again. And then again. And then again. It gets easier and easier. Why is that? It's because your heart's getting harder, you see. Just think about Pharaoh. everybody, you know, they get all twisted out of shape when they talk about how God hardened Pharaoh's heart, but they forget the fact that Pharaoh hardened his own heart first. Read the biblical record. Pharaoh hardened his heart. The more you go against the Lord, the harder your heart gets. And you become enslaved to your will, not God's will, but your will. And sin is that, as I said, which hardens the heart. Sin is also that which causes the sinner to lose fellowship with God. You know, sin blocks your relationship with God. You can't grow as a Christian. You can't grow in your relationship with God if there is sin in your life. Now, we all sin. A lot of times we sin and we don't even know it. I'm talking about deliberate, outright sin that you try to hide from everybody. Sometimes you even tried to hide it from yourself and from God by justifying it. But that keeps you from having fellowship with God. God can't do anything with your prayers when you're living in that kind of sin. Well, the light of Jesus reveals that to you. Sin is that which brings suffering into the life of others. Absolutely, you don't live for yourself. Even those sins that you commit, that you try to hide from your kids or your spouse or your pastor or your friends, those sins disrupt the fellowship that you have with the people closest to you in your life. And Christ, as the light of the world, reveals the real meaning of life. Only a Christian, only a born-again believer understands what the real meaning of life is. Because Jesus Christ reveals the meaning and he gives purpose to your life. Christ throws light on the mystery of death. There's nothing worse than watching someone die who is not part of God's family. It's absolutely heartbreaking as that unrepentant sinner slips away. But see, Christians don't die like that because they know about the truth of death. God has taken something truly awful, which is death, turned it around and made it a way to get you from where you are on earth to heaven where he is. And Christ throws light upon the issues of eternity. You know, it's Jesus who reveals the truly important issues of life to you because he gives you a proper perspective. He helps you to see things as they really are. He helps you to understand what things in this world you have to let go of, because they can hinder you from living the good life here, but also can distract you from eternal values. Well, Jesus gives you the ability to make the determination of what you can hold on to in the world and what you need to let go of. Christ, in that statement, he says, whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. That's an invitation to follow Jesus and to make a commitment to him. And Jesus extended that call not only to the disciples of John the Baptist, to whom he was speaking to, and the people of his day, but Jesus continues to issue that call today. I hope that as you're listening to this podcast, that you are one who responded to the call of Jesus, that you received him, not just as Savior, but as Lord. You know, everybody on earth is mastered by someone, something. If you're not serving Jesus, you are serving the world. You're serving sin. You're serving yourself. You're serving the devil. It was Bob Dylan's famous song, "You Gotta Serve Somebody." Well, you do. Human beings were created to serve. And you, without Jesus, the field is pretty limited. You're serving yourself and your own desires, your selfish desires. You're serving the world. That is to say, you're doing what the world thinks you should do. You're doing what the world wants you to do. You're allowing the world to squeeze you into its mold. And ultimately, that means you're serving the devil. You're being mastered by sin. The fact is, if you're a believer, Christ alone deserves first place. It's wonderful to repent of your sins and make a commitment to follow Jesus, but you got to follow through with that. You must make Christ not just the Savior of your life, the Savior of your soul, but He must become Lord of your life, all right? He wants to be the Lord over every area of your life. He wants you to serve Him, because in serving Him, you discover what true freedom is and what real living is all about. Jesus said, I've come to give you life. I've come to give you the abundant life, more life than you know what to do with. But you've got to serve Him in order to receive that life. You also have to heed Christ as teacher. Matthew chapters 5 through 7. You have to follow the teachings of the Lord. See, following the teachings of the Lord, that's not only a commandment, but it leads to a better life here on earth and a better life in all of eternity. Because if you can't follow the teachings of the Lord here on earth right now, how in the world are you going to live for Jesus in heaven? The way you live your life here today is kind of the proving grounds for how you're going to live in eternity. I'm not saying it's easy to live as Jesus lived, but what I am saying is when you make a commitment to follow Him, you're obligated to, you got to be all in, and you've got to follow the commands and the admonitions of our Lord. Fortunately, you don't have to do that on your own. As we say here, Jesus is the light of the world. He shows you the way. He shows you how you ought to live. He shows you the kind of attitude you should have. And it's through the work of the Holy Spirit in you that you become more and more like Jesus. To those who heed the call to follow Him, Christ makes what I would call a twofold promise. The negative side of the promise is you'll never walk in darkness. Whoever follows me, there's the call. And the promise is you'll never walk in darkness. The darkness of spiritual ignorance of God. When you're following Jesus, you will know God. Now, I'm not saying you'll know everything about God right away. No, of course not. But God will reveal a side of Himself to you that you've never seen before. The more serious you are about following Jesus, and the more serious you are about your faith, the more serious you are about living the way Jesus wants you to, the more you will experience God in your life. You'll also see the darkness of moral impurity with crystal clarity. The light of Jesus shows you what's wrong, what you shouldn't do, what you shouldn't get involved in. Not walking in darkness, Jesus keeps you out of the darkness of unrelieved sorrow because you're not sinning. Hands up, all of you who have felt the awful guilt of doing something you know you shouldn't have done. It's an awful feeling, isn't it? Well, when you commit your life to the Lord and get serious about your faith, when Jesus is the Lord of your life and He's the light of your life, you're not walking in darkness, so your conscience isn't going to condemn you all the time. And the positive side of the promise is you'll have the light of life. So you're not going to walk in darkness. So you're not going to experience the hopelessness of the world. You're actually going to walk in the light of life. When you follow Jesus, when you follow His light, He reveals to you the beauty and the graciousness of the God of love. You don't need to be in darkness about the nature of love. You don't nature of God. You don't need to fear God ever, or be apprehensive about praying. He reveals the key to the abundant life through worship, through meaningful work and ministry, through joyful witness and unselfish giving. When you're walking in the light of life, Jesus takes away our fear of death by giving us the assurance that death is the doorway to eternal life. And you will have assurance that eternal life is a reality because you're living it right now. You don't die to get eternal life. You're living that eternal life right now. Question becomes, what is the quality of your eternal life? If you've confessed Christ as Savior, are you playing games with Him? Or is He truly the light of your life? Come to Jesus, who is the light of the world, and discover the truth about God and life and eternity. As you walk in the light, you will find yourself in the possession of the truth, and you will find yourself in the way of joy. I promise you that. I promise you that. Jesus is the light of the world. He is the light of your life. Well, He has the potential to be if you live for Him. Well, it's over 27 and a half minutes past the hour. It's time to get on with our day. Come on back Wednesday for another Panic Podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in today. You know, it means a lot to me to know that you are there studying the Word of God with me. I hope that occasionally I say things that cause you to think, cause you to consider the state of your life and your relationship with Him. You know, more than anything else, I want you to know Jesus better. I want us to know Him better. Best way to do that is to study His Word together. Once again, thank you for tuning in today. We'll see you again in a mere 47 and a half hours from right now. God bless you. See you Wednesday. Have a great week till then.